WUKY presents health news you can use. It's Dr. Greg Davis on medicine.
One of the challenges during the coronavirus pandemic is how do we care for children? And we're reminded that they're not just little adults. I recently spoke with Dr. Elizabeth Hawes, a pediatrician at Commonwealth Pediatrics in Lexington, about the particular challenges facing adult caregivers and pediatricians in taking care of children during the coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah, there are several challenges for kids. I think, you know, the first challenge is probably dispelling the myth a little bit that kids don't get coronavirus, because unfortunately they do. They tend to not be as deathly ill with coronavirus as adults, but they do get it. And we have seen increasing cases of this in our office in Lexington as the community spread has increased. And it was just this week that American Academy of Pediatrics said we have had 154,000 cases of COVID just this past week diagnosed in children. So it is definitely increasing as the community rates increase.
Well, and you know, one of the heartbreaking things is you had mentioned that when you're treating these kids who are sick with coronavirus, that their primary concern often is not with themselves, but they know that the symptoms can affect older people more harmfully, and they're worried about their adult caregivers.
They are worried about their adult caregivers, and as a pediatrician, I worry a lot about their mental health, and I worry about them if unfortunately this will eventually happen, they infect a parent or a grandparent or a beloved uncle or a favorite teacher, and then that adult doesn't have a good outcome. And I just worry about the long-term psychological implications on a child and their mental and emotional development. So I do worry a lot about that too, because most of the time when we tell a child you have COVID, their first concern is, you can see the wheels spin inside their head of, where have I been? And who have I been around? And they're really concerned about the adults in their life.
Well, in talking about the challenges for physical health and mental and emotional health for children, you know, obviously one of the big points of discussion in the national discourse is whether kids should physically be in school or whether we need to continue with non-traditional instruction. When adult caregivers come to you with those riddles, you know, and asking you for advice, do you have any particular sage wisdom to give to them, given that our knowledge is changing seemingly every week?
Well, I think that's the first thing I do tell them. And actually, pretty much every exam room that I go into every day, I get asked this question by parents or by grandparents who have brought the kids in for, you know, a checkup or a flu shot or whatever sort of normal childhood visit that we're having. And I get asked, what do you think about them going to school, or should they go to school? And you're right, the first thing I tell them is that information changes. You know, we are literally, for better or for worse, we're watching science in real time. We are literally doing that fourth grade science project that we were all required to do. We're all living that. So in March, we weren't sure that this wasn't spread, you know, on surfaces, on tables, on doorknobs. Now we know that's a little bit less the case. So I'm certainly more comfortable with them going back now than I was in March. So we've learned a lot there. But having said that, children are still a part of a larger community. I mean, the school is not something separate than the community. The adults that work at the school go out into the community and go home to their own families. And just because kids don't get as sick with this doesn't mean they can't spread it. They were thinking they spread it less than adults. Those studies are still ongoing. There's just a lot of the unknown. And there's a lot of unknown about what are the long-term effects in kids that get COVID. For example, we've had a couple of kids who are very proficient, very successful high school athletes who will probably play Division I sports at some point in our practice who have had COVID, and we have ended up sending them to the pediatric cardiologist just to make sure that they don't have myocarditis, which is an inflammation of the heart muscle, that they're not at risk for rhythm problems with their heart. Those sorts of things we're having to sort of think ahead. So it's not as simple as kids do better in school emotionally, so we need to send them back. That statement's true, but it's not true unrelated to the other types of health, like their physical health or their mental health.
We've touched on something that I think about a lot, and that is, of course, you and I are trained to be evidence-based and to consider that new evidence as it comes along. Living in this age of often encountering disinformation, sometimes there's a mistrust of experts. I know Dr. Fauci was excoriated by some because he, quote, changed his mind, end quote, over the course of the pandemic. But that's what we do as scientists. And it's delightful to consider that and to educate your children, your adult caregivers, to the fact that, you know, no, we don't know everything. And parenthetically, I always tell folks, be very wary of the person who claims to know everything.
Absolutely. And, you know, for my own family, for myself, when I refer my patients, because I'm really a primary care pediatrician, when I refer my patients to a pediatric subspecialist, I tell them, if a doctor never says to you, I don't know, I need to look it up, or I don't know, but I will get the answer, or I don't know, but I will call a colleague, or we just can't know because we don't have enough information, then be very wary of that person. A good physician, a good scientist is open to where the science leads them. And if it leads them in a different direction, it's not a personal affront to that scientist. That is information that a scientist will use to guide the next question. So just because you do an experiment, the experiment may not work out the way you thought it would, but that's also valuable. And that's what I want people to understand. And I do think you've seen, to some degree, the low level of scientific literacy that we have in Kentucky and in the United States of understanding the scientific method, and that we have hypotheses, and those hypotheses can be proven or they can be disproven, and both those things are valuable.
Absolutely. Well, in closing, I guess one of the questions I wanted to ask you was, when a child or adolescent or adult caregiver comes to you and just says, I'm exhausted, I'm anxious all the time, you know, I'm flooded with information, do you have any calming advice for those patients and for their adults?
I think the main thing is to try to, especially people that are anxious, we've had a lot of people that are anxiety ridden, and understandably so. And I try to talk to them about anxiety. Anxiety, it can be uncomfortable, but it can also serve a purpose. So I use the example of like a high school chemistry test. If you're going to have a chemistry test and you didn't study for your chemistry test, you should be anxious, right? Yes. Your anxiety serves a purpose, and that is to make you study for a test. Some of your anxiety about COVID-19 is serving a purpose if it's keeping you safe. You stay in your house, you stay 6 feet away from other people, you wear a mask when you can't stay 6 feet away outdoors, you don't go to work if you're sick, all those things that the public health officials have told us to do, that anxiety serves a purpose. And you need to look at that as not that it can't be upsetting, but that's not like pathology. That is serving a purpose. If you're finding yourself overwhelmed about things that have nothing to do with the pandemic, just everything in your daily life, more of a generalized anxiety, or you're having physical symptoms like you're having nausea and vomiting, or your heart, you know, you feel like your heart rate is increased, those things need to be treated. And we have sent so many children, and frankly, some parents that I feel like I have a good enough relationship with them. I've told them, listen, I think you need to talk to a mental health professional. There's no side effect of talking to a therapist or a psychologist. Only good can come of that. and we all have plenty of time at home. We're so lucky. Lots of people in our community are doing those visits via telehealth, so it's very accessible. Usually people's health insurance will cover it, and people should take advantage of that, because those professionals can really help you manage your anxiety and can help you see, you know, what part of your anxiety is serving a purpose and what part is serving you no purpose and needs to be taken care of.
My thanks today to Dr. Elizabeth Hawes, pediatrician with Commonwealth Pediatrics in Lexington, for talking with us about the particular challenges facing adults and pediatricians in taking care of children during the coronavirus pandemic. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.